Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aarti Industries Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishid Solanki from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Aarti Industries Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. Today, we are joined by senior members of the management team, including Mr. Rathra Gogri, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Rashesh Gogri, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Chetan Gandhi, Chief Financial Officer. We will commence the call with opening thoughts from Mr. Gogri, who will take us through the performance overview, insights, plans, and outlook on the business. Post this, we open the forum for question and answer, where the management will be addressing queries of the participants. Just to share our standard disclaimer, certain statements that may be made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the results presentation that has been shared earlier and uploaded on the stock exchange website. I would now invite Mr. Rajendra Gogri to share his perspective. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon and a warm welcome to everyone on Aarti Industries Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. I wish to cover initial thoughts on the performance, evolving market trends, and the outlook. While last year was marred with headwinds around inflation in input costs and supply chain disruption, this year commenced with a set of renewed challenges like oversupply situation in China due to weak domestic demand, global inventory destocking, and slowdown in key developed markets. This has impacted the end-user demand and affected the prevalent pricing environment, thereby moderating the revenue trajectory for the chemical industry, including us. Our team relentlessly worked towards augmenting the product portfolio and delivering sustained value to our customer in this difficult environment. At the same time, we channelized our deep expertise to maintain the market share, optimize the product mix, etc. Products linked to dyes, pigments, and other discretionary industries continued to suffer due to prolonged demand weakness as well as inventory correction, while several products within agrochemicals faced pressure due to excessive inventory in the market. Having said that, we believe that this is transitory in nature, and the medium to long-term outlook remains broadly intact. Our discussion with the customers indicates the volume recovery to pick in gradually from the second half of the current fiscal year. Let me now cover the key performance highlights. Our revenue declined by 10% to rupees 1,571 crore, while EBITDA was down by 29% to rupees 201 crore, in line with weak industry trends. Profit after tax stood at rupees 70 crore. Overall performance was impacted due to reasons mentioned above. Export shipments were significantly affected due to prevailing weak demand. Moving your attention to the production details for Q1 FY24, production of nitrochlorobenzene stood at 17,293 metric tons as compared to 20,515 metric tons in Q1 of last year. For hydrogenation, this came at 2,868 tons per month over 3,295 tons per month in the same period last year. For nitrotoluene, the production for Q1 to FY24 stood at 9,327 metric tons as against 5,252 metric tons in Q1 of FY23. Now, let me share some update on projects. The project timelines remain broadly intact, bearing minor alteration, as we continue to believe in the long-term structural story of India, especially the China Plus One opportunity and growing consumption of chemicals. The scale-up from expansion of NCB capacity from 75,000 to 108,000 tons per annum has been completed recently. Our other CapEx initiative in existing product portfolios, such as expansion of NT and downstream methylation products, etc., are progressing well as planned. During the quarter under review, we undertook a CapEx of about rupees 260 crore and expect the CapEx of about rupees 2,500 crore-3,000 crore in the next 2 years to elevate our manufacturing capabilities and expansion in our value-added product portfolio. Our new project initiatives for chlorotoluene and multipurpose plants are expected to start gradually coming on stream from end FY25 and will drive growth beyond FY26. While we expect the demand recovery to gradually occur in the second half of this year, our EBITDA performance will be moderated in FY24. This is in line with weak industry trends. We will be in a better position to assess the situation as we move along. To conclude, I would say that we firmly believe in India is offering potential within several chemical value chains. We will leverage our strength across chosen chemistry with nuanced understanding of market complexities to deliver robust performance. The ensuing year will see introduction of many high-quality products premised on core R&D competence, which will cement our leadership position in the market and help deliver sustained value for our long-term stakeholders. I will now request the moderator to open the forum for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vivek Rajamani from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the presentation. Just a couple of questions from my end. Firstly, on demand, you mentioned that, you know, it's still quite challenging. Just wanted to get a sense if in the month of July you've seen any sort of improvement. And just in terms of normalized levels, how much below are we with respect to key segments? So that was the first question on demand. And the second one that I had was on the unit margins. Given that your volumes were broadly intact on a Q1Q perspective, it appears that unit margins have compressed. Could you maybe share some thoughts in terms of your sales mix? You know, what's the share of the non-regular customers in your mix and how the margins are trending in those new customers? Thank you very much.
Yeah, basically, you know, demand is more expected to be recovering more towards, you know, in third and fourth quarter as compared to the second quarter. And actually, some of the agrochemical, you know, first quarter was, you know, our nitrotoluene, if you can see, the numbers were good. But those slowdown in those product lines are now being seen in Q2 of this year. So this inventory destocking is taking place for, you know, different products and in a different time frame in general. And because of overall slowdown, even in Chinese domestic economy, and actually Chinese currency also has actually depreciated against Indian currency, you know, by about 4%. So that is also putting some margin pressures in general.
Sure, sir. Just to clarify, so no big change in July. You're basically expecting a bigger improvement to come from Q3 and Q4. Is that fair?
Yes.
And just, sir, on the question on the you know, sales mix, if you just share any comments on, you know, what's the share of your non-regular markets?
Actually, non-regular market also became difficult because of the slowdown there. So that's why, you know, that share has not increased much.
Sure, sir. I'll rejoin the queue. Thank you so much, Mr. Vegas.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Ketan from Smith's Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. Sir, first question, so when we, so when you say that the demand is weak, so considering a base of 100, now taking agrochemicals, pharmaceuticals, dyes and pigments, so how much would the number be so below 100?
It will be, you know, down by, you know, overall on a 10 to 20% decline in demand, depending on the product lines.
Okay. And sir, in this quarter, sir, we had made so 14% margin. If, sir, we can also separate it into specialty and commoditized product-wise margin. Like, sir, since our specialized portfolio is around 70%, so ideally, so even the specialty product portfolio, so that is also facing pressure from China, or you think that segment is still not impacted and the pain could be there in coming quarters? How you see all, like, things?
Yeah, the volume impact is there, you know, across the board basically, whether it's a specialty chemical or, you know, the or value-added chemical or the base chemical, because that base chemical only goes into the manufacture of value-added products. But the margin pressure is more towards the base chemicals compared to the more value-added products.
So the 70% of the segment, that shouldn't have been that impacted, right? If you are saying commoditized is more impacted.
Yeah, so relatively the impact on value-added product on the margin side is less. But the demand side is across the board actually.
Okay, okay. And for this quarterly run rate, like so we used to generally clock a profitability of around 130 to one to around so 150 crore in profit. But this quarter we had given a 70 crore profit. So you think this number can again go back to that range in second half?
Yeah, basically there will be a substantial jump at PBT level, like, because once the EBITDA increases, then that EBITDA directly virtually increase on profit level. So those kind of numbers are possible towards, you know, end of the second half of this Q4 levels.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akella from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. Thanks so much for taking my questions. First of all, just on the, you know, EBITDA outlook for the next couple of years now, you know, we had earlier spoken about, say, 15% growth for this year and then, you know, sharper growth in FY25. You know, would you like to sort of offer any updates on that at this point, or is that is there just not enough visibility to do that right now?
Actually, it is will be too early to, you know, give FY25 guidelines. You know, the previous guideline was 1700 crores. I think decline may take place in that, but, you know, really whether it will be in the range of 5 to 10% or maybe even a little more, that kind of more clarity will emerge in next couple of quarters based on the how the further demand visibility and the margin visibility comes in. So it will be difficult to give any fresh guidance as of now.
Right, right. No, fair enough, sir. On the performance of the long-term projects that we have, the three of them, have those also been impacted in terms of deliveries because of the demand weakness, or have those held up and it's more of the, you know, base business that has been impacted?
The first contract actually which got cancelled, which is this Dicamba intermediate, that is actually severely impacted because of the demand slowdown in that product line. Whereas second contract is more of a structural where, you know, our EBITDA is kind of assured irrespective of the movement of the volumes. And third contract, it is on stabilization, and it is overall has a good demand visibility in that third contract. So second half will show a good numbers coming in third third contract.
Understood. And the new projects that we were planning to ramp set up in, you know, the new multipurpose plants or the specialty chemical units, are those, you know, sort of on track for the expected ramp up, or could there be some delay in their ramp up as well given the demand scenario?
Well, see, they are going to happen more towards the end of FY25. I think that by that time all this, because you see the majority is the inventory correction. It is not that the product are ultimately the consumers are not going to consume. It is that in the system so much inventory was built up of last couple of years. One is that containers were not available and all. So in general, you know, people picked up more inventory. And second thing is because of this higher interest cost globally, which was nearly maybe only 1 or 2%, the dollar rates are now maybe 7-8%. And increasing inventory carrying costs also has made people to reduce the inventory. So I think by end of FY25, the entire chemical industry has to come to a normal consumption level after all the destocking. So we don't see, you know, those to continue for like, you know, very long time at first.
Yes, understood. And just one last thing from my end, maybe more for Chetan bhai. Just you know, the finance cost and depreciation expense related to the newer project, etc., have they already hit the books in the June quarter, or will there be some more impact in you know, the upcoming quarters? And also, the tax rate is very low this quarter. So if you could please just update your guidance for this year and next year. Thank you.
So the finance cost and depreciation to the extent of the ones which are getting operationalized towards the end of last quarter and this quarter, they already hit the books. On the tax, because we have a couple of tax exemptions by way of SEZ and some cogen power facilities, and also we have the depreciation rate as per income tax is higher than the what is there in the books. There is a lot of tax offset and credits available. This is where the tax outflow, sorry, the tax rate would be lower. We will have MAT credit in this year substantially.
Yeah, so should we expect like a sub 10% tax rate for this year, or?
It will be sub 10% this year.
Okay. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Gupta from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good evening and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first question is on our specialty chemical. We claim roughly 85% kind of our product basket is on a specialty nature, where we have always understood that the pricing is contracted and the margins are also broadly same. So in that business environment, you are seeing that customers have defaulted or deferred their volume offtake, and that has led to lower volume, or it is also some price impact is also there, and that has led to margin erosion and profitability impact.
No, that's a value-added product also, but that typically we expect the per kg margin to be steady, and lot of product it remains steady, but some product, you know, there will be some sort of a up and down also happening in increase or decrease of margins. So that is the phenomenon which is playing out. It's not like customers are defaulting or something as such.
No, sir, not defaulting. I'm saying still differing the volume. Because if you're 85% volume in specialty, and then we see that roughly 40% erosion in EBITDA, where the EBITDA per kg margin are likely stable, that will only possible if there is a significant deferment in volume. The volume offtake would not have happened until unless we had some huge inventory that losses, or our 15 or 20% business, which is non-contractual, that has seen significant losses. So if you can explain more on that front.
Yeah, basically this 85% is not like also 100% contractual. And as I earlier mentioned, the demand slowdown is in both value-added products as well as on base products.
Okay, sir, what we see right now, and you have a strong growth visibility in H2, and though avoiding giving any guidance, I expect that growth to recover in H2 significantly. And you have mentioned that probably for FY25, maybe just 5 to 10% kind of deviation to the EBITDA numbers. So is it something coming from the customer that you see that the strong recovery in H2 that will compensate the volume decline which we have seen at H1, or you see that it is just an expectation that the inventory in the system will be corrected and then we will see restocking? I mean, what is the basis from where we are making a strong opinion that H2 will be a significant improvement?
Yeah, a lot of customers have given guidance that what kind of material they will need in October to March indication. We have received for a lot of customers. So, you know, that, you know, which were not buying, some of them were not buying for 3 months also. So, those kind of, basically, a lot of inventory correction, what is happening seems to be getting over maybe this Q3 and Q4 of this year.
Sir, you also highlighted the currency, Chinese currency depreciation is helping the global market and China to push the material in the system. Sir, in that business also, do we see that our 85% once again, the business which is contracted in nature, have these contracts has to be renegotiated with the customers with a lower margin we have to settle, or the currency depreciation shouldn't impact us at all?
No, that will, for our contractual business, you know, what happens between Chinese and Indian currency generally is not, actually they are currency neutral. Generally they will be in US dollar terms. So all exchange risk will be always with us. So, you know, there is no change in the contract terms because of any change in whether the US dollar to Indian rupees or US dollar to Chinese currency.
So actually, sir, in a sense that the Chinese currency and the China dumping shouldn't be impacting our large part of the business, which is 80-85%. But amid that, we have a huge uncertainty and very weak number. So, I mean, something which we are missing, that what actually would have led such a sharp kind of decline. And if you said that just because of the volume and the inventory destocking, that is impacting the profitability. So that's what you are trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. China, some of the products in India also, basically the competition comes from the China, because some of the products are imported into India from China. So, you know, that those kind of products where it is, which we sell in domestic markets, there we are seeing those impacts. There the currency impact also will kick in.
Okay, so just last from my side and I'll come back in queue. Sir, and the project one, intermediate, any sense, because right now anyhow we are going through the agrochemical global weakness and there is no contractual arrangement still being made for the intermediate. What kind of utilization level you see? Have we formulated any strategy given that the global weakness in agrochemicals market continues? Have we decided anything on this project one for the Dicamba intermediate?
Yes, we mentioned it's a very specialized plant, you know, it's a continuous plant and difficult to use for other products, but we will take some call on that maybe in the next one or two quarters, that, you know, we can really make a substantial modification in that facility and introduce new products, because we have two different lines there, so maybe one line we can repurpose or so. So that decision may be in next couple of quarters we will take.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So first question is on the domestic market. So we've been talking about global inventory destocking and ingress of China material. How has been the performance in the domestic market? Which segments are showing growth, or in domestic market also there is overhang of inventory destocking? Just your thoughts on this. Thank you.
No, as we have mentioned in earlier also, our direct export is now around 45-50%, and there is indirect export around 20-25%, where the, our customers export, make the product and the downstreams are exported. So effectively, now our 70% of our business is linked to international market, and within the 30%, you know, product which are going in pharmaceutical and all, you know, we are seeing there is no change in demand. But there we see there is a lot of, in pharma sector, the China has been very aggressive when they are exporting to India. So there they are finding some pressure in their product line. But the demand is intact on those products.
Right. And so for the 30% domestic market, we are still growing. I mean, there is no real issue of inventory destocking as far as the domestic demand is concerned.
Not significantly, no.
Second question is in terms of China. So there is good amount of material which is coming from China, and you also alluded to that. So has there been any change in terms of newer capacity additions which have come up in recent times, and that is also posing some kind of a threat for, you know, with newer material coming into the system? Thank you.
No, there is no change about what actually the Chinese material coming into India, because actually our new PNCB capacity has just come up in this month. So there, then we'll have more availability of the material, which will, you know, help in reducing the import from China.
Right. And generally, in the base, base benzene chemistry, are there any new capacities which have come in China? I mean, as per your understanding?
No, either one particular plant which was closed down, that has restarted last year.
Okay. And just one last clarification from Chetan bhai. In terms of, given that this year our absolute EBITDA will get impacted because of the external factors, how are we covered in terms of our debt repayment? And given that our CapEx program will continue at 2,500-3,000 crores for this year and next year, what is the peak debt that we are looking at?
So, our annual debt repayment is roughly around 350 odd crores. So relatively, that number can be easily managed from even the current situation where we are prevailing in. As regards the CapEx program which we have, we've secured long-term 10-year money from IFC of around $130 million, which will be available for us to utilize for the new CapEx initiatives. Plus, the contraction in the demand and the revenues and business will also result into release in working capital requirement. So there will be some cash flow reduction on working capital, which will also benefit in terms of managing the cash flow requirements.
Sure. This is helpful and best of luck, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Narayan Patra from PhillipCapital India. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So first question is on the export decline QOQ, what we are witnessing, 27%. So can you split that decline in terms of volume as well as value, sir, or in terms of price?
As you mentioned, the price in a lot of our products, price are linked to raw material. And why the demand was this benzene price was lower. So impact of that also has come in, you know, at the top line level. And both volume also. It will be difficult to bifurcate.
Is it fair to believe that this the number what you have mentioned, the volume decline would be in the range of 10%-20%? So that would be the range for export business?
No, it will be more towards, you know, around 10%-12%, not for the 20%.
Okay. Because here, if I see the domestic performance also, QOQ, it is a flat performance. So that means if we are believing that the volume scenario is there that way, maintaining, no more kind of slowdown that we have witnessed in the domestic market, then is it fair to believe that the price pressure what we have witnessed because of the Chinese dumping, so that has not been reflected practically in the first quarter, and hence second quarter could be the key period during which we will see the full impact of this Chinese dumping as well as even to the domestic business?
Now, some impact is already seen in the Q1 also of that. So additional impact maybe not that significant.
Okay, because since we are saying that there is some impact in the volume and there is some impact that is already been seen in terms of pricing, but domestic sales QOQ is flat despite of all these challenges. So that is why only I was.
Yeah, the sales value-wise is flat, but, you know, some impact on the margin has come in there.
Correct. So my next point was that only, sir. See, in fact, the gross margin, if you see, that is the weakest gross margin that we are witnessing this quarter. So weakest ever, possibly 35% kind of gross margin. So is it because of the kind of impact on the prices or product prices, or it is the cost still that is impacting you?
No, because as a percentage, it becomes difficult. As we mentioned, you know, the benzene price has gone down YOY.
Okay.
So that is going to have a, always an impact of that. So when as a percentage becomes difficult, the absolute gross profit and absolute EBITDA becomes more a better number.
Okay. So just practically this quarter's performance industry-wide, if you see, it is a challenge of the volume only or demand situation. That is a key challenge for the quarter. And on the top of that, this dumping in the meanwhile by China. So that is the second problem, creating a pressure on the prices. So, sir, could you give some sense after interacting with your customers and all that? So what is the level of inventory they generally used to maintain pre-COVID? And currently, what is the level of inventory they are maintaining? So that is one. And regards this Chinese dumping thing, so how long that you think that there could be a kind of this dumping pressure could be seen in the external non-US market or let's say in the international global market?
Yeah, basically, you know, this dumping also relates to the original overall demand. If the overall demand increases globally, then you know, dumping is going to go down. And second thing is now the inventory carrying cost is high. You see, right. The dollar interest rates are high. So typically, if any company wants is keeping inventory of say 3 months, they will say now you keep it 2 months. You know, inherently because the cost of money and availability of money.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
That is really, you know, each and every businesses have to relook at, you know, what kind of inventory they should keep. You know, previously it was the availability was the issue. The shipping was a big problem. So at that time, everybody has taken maybe somebody who is keeping normally a 3 month inventory will make it 4 months. And high inventory carrying cost, now they will think they will make it 2 months. So that is what is really, you know, moving from a high inventory to a lower inventory than a normal. That is where, that's why this inventory correction has become. Like they were saying, agrochemical, the 75 billion market had a $65 billion inventory in that entire value chain. So that's a huge inventory. So that is what is
8-9 months of inventory that you mean to say, sir?
Yeah, in an entire value chain, from the intermediate to active ingredient to the farmers, dealers, and everything. So very high level of inventory was, but now with the cost of money and, you know, availability of money, that is getting corrected. So the new normal will come, you know, like, you know, at this kind of interest level. Now interest also is picking up. I think US interest rate also virtually now, you know, get stabilized. So new normal of an inventory, I think, will come in maybe by end of this year, calendar year.
Okay. So just last one about the debt. So what is the gross debt currently, sir? I think after the recent addition, what is the gross debt that we are currently having?
What is the debt position? I mean, the net debt would be close to around 2650 or so. The gross debt, because we've taken the term loan drawdown towards the last week of June and we have not fully utilized it, so I've got something like close to gross debt of almost 3,000 crore and cash surplus or liquid money of 400 crore.
Okay, fine. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for taking on my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akul Brochwala from Ocean Dial Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, chlorotoluene's initial phasing that you are planning to do in FY25. Can you just share some details as to what would be the initial capacity? And I believe this is an import substitution strategy to products. So, you know, what's the current imports and basically what's your thought behind, you know, fast tracking this entire project?
Yeah, that actually project will get commissioned in FY26 and chlorotoluene capacity we have taken about 42,000 tons as a base capacity, but it will be with the entire value chain because the current import of chlorotoluene is not that significant as it is. But a lot of downstream products based on chlorotoluenes are currently imported into India.
Understood. And what is the capex entailed for this first phase of, you know, chlorotoluenes?
Yeah, first phase will be, you know, more of around 1500 crores or so in the first phase of those. And then further some multi-purpose plan and additional addition will take place.
Okay, so basically eventually we also plan to introduce downstreams and would cater it through multi-purpose.
Beginning itself we'll have a downstream. So we'll have few downstreams along with the chlorotoluene itself. Simultaneously downstream will be. Otherwise you cannot consume that much. So because there is not that much demand in India of the base chlorotoluene. So few downstream chemistry along with the chlorotoluene will be commissioned in the first phase. So it will be more or less a continuous various plants will get commissioned in FY26. Some may go in FY27, but most of the commissioning will happen in FY26.
Understood. And, you know, given the kind of situation that is there, do you sense that there would be some realignment that would be required eventually if, you know, things not improve, or you will still go ahead with the kind of capex program that you've built in?
Because we see this as a more of a transition because of the inventory correction, as I mentioned earlier. The structurally, the chemicals are required by the end user, whether it's a pharma, agro, or for paint, or car, or all the end uses, there is no change. There's not new chemicals or which has come in. So structurally, the demand is there. And second thing is that demand appetite from India also is remaining. So anything of a long term which is going to come up in FY25, FY26, because by that time, I think all the stabilization will be taking place, you know. So there is no question of, you know, changing anything on that.
Understood. And secondly, you know, whatever legacy issues that we face with, you know, availability of nitric acid. So can we assume that most of those issues are behind us now? And considering your contract with Deepak Fertilizer as well, maybe, you know, considering this down cycle, even if the demand might remain volatile, but otherwise in terms of production, there aren't any such challenges for us.
Yes. Yeah, because we had this 20-year contract, so nitric acid availability has not been an issue at all.
Yeah. Understood. And lastly, on other expenses, the run rate of 1Q, like, do you expect to gradually that to, you know, increase to the earlier levels, or will it be pertaining to the production levels that will depend on the market situation?
His other expense is a substantial ocean freight. You see, there's ocean freight correction, which has, you know, really changed in this. Because even though it is a direct variable expense, it comes in the other expenses, and which has really seen huge volatility in last couple of years.
Understood. That's it from my answer. Thank you, and all. Wish you the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Sahu from MacPro Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Couple of questions. Now, given the headwinds we are seeing from China side, which was quite unexpected as far as the aggressiveness on the dumping is concerned. So now, any estimate for the volume growth for the rest of the year? I mean, particularly when we also have a strategy of being aggressive in non-regular markets.
Yeah, it's difficult to give any volume because of China itself, you know, what we are supplying there also is becoming difficult as a non-regular market. To give any specific volume guidance at present will be difficult.
Okay, but so coming from, expectation of 25%, would you have any broad range to talk about even for the remaining 9 months?
So instead of, you know, 25, it may be overall maybe around 10% growth or something, those kind of numbers.
Understood. And sir, on the domestic market, could you provide any qualitative guidance for near term, given that it looks like on the volume terms, it looks stable if we just look at Q-on-Q basis. And relatively, probably the market also better for us. Those you mentioned, there is a bit of an impact on the margins. So particularly on 30% of the business, if you can provide some guidance for the near term.
Yeah, that 30% business which is going for domestic consumption, I think we are seeing a fairly stable demand. And I think that will continue like that.
Okay, okay. And so last on these, currently our net debt to equity is about 0.56. Could you provide what could be the peak metric for this as well as this current CapEx cycle is concerned for next 2 years?
So debt to equity is also going to be a function of how the working capital and the input prices prevail. So if we assume the constant prices, I believe this should be between 0.6 or 0.7 max, don't go beyond that number. But yeah, working capital is going to be a major play in looking at the debt numbers as we move forward.
Okay, wonderful. I mean, given status quo, I mean, 0.7 is what we are looking at as the peak.
0.7 on a worst case outer limit. I guess 0.56 or 0.6 is the number which we are currently targeting.
Understood. Quite helpful. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Archit Joshi from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, if I heard you right in the opening remarks, our nitrotoluene production volumes have gone up quite a bit year on year. Sir, is it that there is decent enough demand in the base toluidines or the end users of this eventually going to agri, MEA and DMA. Is that what is driving growth or is there something else that we would like to highlight?
Yeah, basically that agrochemicals in that product line was doing well in Q1. That's why we got a good number of nitrotoluene. As I mentioned earlier also, now that inventory impact has started coming in now in Q2. So there will be some Q2 and Q3, we may have some subdued numbers in our utilization range. But we'll try to, sell the product to other market and try to keep the volumes. But nitrotoluene volumes will be impacted in Q2 for sure.
Okay, understood, sir. Just another clarification that I wanted from the previous calls about the arrangement in the second long-term contract. Just wanted your thoughts. What exactly is the arrangement there? Are we working on a fixed EBITDA basis? Because given the size of the contract, a simple division of the total size of the contract over the tenure that we have planned, 500 crore annual turnover and the EBITDA range that we had given earlier in terms of margins, would that be achievable from this year onwards or is there any delay on that end also?
No, that has kicked in. So, we are getting that. That's what I mentioned earlier also. So, that second contract, the EBITDA is not connected much to the volumes.
So, basically, sir, the EBITDA or the per ton or the absolute margin that we are envisaging to make here, we'll make it any which way in this year and going forward also. The same number.
It's not related to the volumes. It's absolute EBITDA virtually is not going to change much.
Exactly, sir. So the absolute EBITDA run rate from this year will be constant from this financial year, from FY24 and going ahead.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to ask. Okay,
yes.
Understood. So just one follow-up on the first question. So the incremental nitrotoluene capacity and the ethylation loop, when would you assume it to come online in terms of timeline?
Yeah, we are targeting in a Q1 of FY25 that both nitrotoluene and the ethylation block should go in commissioning.
Q1 FY24. Got it, sir. Thank you. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. First question on the decline in RM prices that we are seeing. Will it be fair to say that all the RM deflation has been passed through across our value-added as well as basic products? And if not, then what is the proportion of the contractual pricing that we have?
No, basically, generally, domestic market, it gets passed on a month-to-month basis, and export, it is generally quarterly lag. You know, so that is a typical structure. So actually now again the RM has started going up. So if you see the downward more was towards in June, July, and now the prices have started going up. So in that.
Sure, sir. And in that sense, in that case, probably in the near term, there could be some flux in terms of margins because of, you know, pass-through delays or, you know, given the volatility of the RM prices.
Yeah, but it has not seen a very huge variation. It is not like, you know, 60 rupees becoming 90 rupees or 60 rupees becoming 30 rupees. So the changes are not a very huge, you know, to have a really substantial impact.
Sure. Sir, secondly, on the value-added products, now we say our revenue share from them is around 75-80%. How much of this will be contractual? And you know, another question there is, how do you define value added? Is it number of steps required or is the margin that we earn?
So it's on a number of steps basically. So like the first nitrochlorobenzene, nitrotoluene and all, you know, sulfuric acids, they are considered base products. And then as you add more chemistries, that become more value added products. So value added products typically, you know, we have a long-term structured contract also, and other places where we don't have structured contract. But generally, typical delta when we discuss with customers, that is, you know, the pricing are generally typically done based on the base raw material plus delta. So that's how the pricing is done, even if it is not contractual. But generally, the pricing structure remains of that.
And this delta will be, broadly speaking, in what percentage terms higher than the basic one? So let's say the basic margin is maybe 100 rupee kg, then what is the delta here for value added? I know it will be a range, but broadly.
Depending on the number of chemistry. You know? So we have a product which we sell at 2000 rupees also. We have a product which we sell at 1000 rupees also. 500 rupees also. So 2000 rupees, you know, the raw material cost may be only 500 rupees because so many chemistries are added. So it's all product to product in that sense. Depending on the, actually every step, you know, that delta gets added and gross profit to sales number goes on increasing.
Okay. So, you know, in our annual report, we again talk about, you know, the value-added products and the high potential products, margin accretive being, you know, there will be ramp up there given our CapEx plans as well. The margins that we'll be earning on these value-added products, you know, how should one look at them? Maybe in terms of number of steps you can suggest or in terms of absolute margin, how should one look at them?
Like chlorotoluenes, you know, mostly, most of the product will have at least typically three steps. Entire range. So there'll be virtually everything will be 90% will be of a value-added kind of products there. So there with the EBITDA margin and everything will be higher.
Sure. That's it from my sector. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavya Gandhi from Avendus Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my question. So just one question. Have we seen historically this kind of situation of destocking, and what is the time period for this kind of situation? What was the time period which was taken for destocking in the past? If you can throw some light on this. Maybe in last 10, 15 years have we seen, or is it a one-off situation this time?
This is similar to what had happened in 2008. No, 2008, if you see, after Lehman Shock. Across the world, you know, a lot of plants have closed down and very sharp. That was more of a financial crisis. Availability of finance was a problem. But the interest rates were low. At that time, the interest rates were going down. But this time what has happened is that the interest rates also has increased. In 2008, there was no impact on agrochemicals. Because okay. agrochemical demand were everything was because the inventory carrying cost was zero. And okay. now what has happened in this time, you know, it is that interest cost also has become a big factor. So this time the impact has come both on discretionary as well as on agrochemical.
Okay. So in 2008, what was the time period for which the cycle lasted? I mean, the destocking thing,
you know,
was it like a...
Two quarters, 15 two September quarters, was a Lehman shock. So October to March, those 6 months there was a... And that time though, it was much sharper. This time it is more of a slower and more prolonged compared to the earlier. At that time it was very, very sharp, you know, like BSF and announced this many plants closed across the world and all that. You know, Lehman shock was much really a shocking and very shock impact. That's
right. And how do we assess that, you know, it's only the channel inventory issue and not the demand issue? Like, do we have any ground level reading saying that the demand is not impacted? So how do we assess that? Because everybody is talking about two quarter thing. So what gives us certainty when it comes to demand?
No, basically all these products are required mainly for your auto or construction and textile and electronics and all consumer products. And overall, I think there is no replacement of these chemicals what are used there. And we don't see any structural change in the consumption pattern. Actually, all these EV and all, they need more specialty polymers than regular vehicles.
Right, but is it like China, you know, trying to squeeze again our margins or on a longer term basis, are they going to come back and affect demand?
No, actually the demand from India will remain because the China plus one story and demand, you know, we don't have to worry much about the volumes. Specific product to product, though, some margin pressure will come. But once the demand become normal, the appetite to buy from India is there and that will kind of going to continue. So personally, I don't see that, you know, the volumes will be impacted. Once thing normalizes, Indian companies should be able to get those volumes for in the international market.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. That's from my end. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Gadekar from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So first, in terms of the sectors that we cater to, agrochemicals, dyes and pigments, polymers, autos and others. So in terms of the slowdown, where would you see the sharpest slowdown? And in terms of recovery, are we seeing any green shoots in any of these segments, at least in July, August, or none of all are still at the similar levels as 1Q?
Actually, textile is something which is everybody is wondering. If you talk in textile sector, it has been a very, very prolonged one because that was the first one which started impacting even in FY23. It's a much longer. Pigment side, some sort of a green shoots may happen in Q2 onwards. And agrochemicals are very, very product specific. As I mentioned, Q1, the nitrotoluene and ethylation products were really booming and suddenly Q2 and Q3, those things happened. Whereas the dicamba base, where correction started happening in the Q1. So this has become much more volume specific.
Okay. So in terms of our second quarter, should we be at a similar level in terms of our EBITDA or could we even go below the current 200 crore EBITDA that we reported in this quarter?
It should be of a similar range. That's how it looks, at least at present. It should be of a similar range.
But do we have any volume contracts or volume visibility that third quarter will be better than the first half, or it will be entirely pushed to the fourth quarter or FY25?
No, we have some volume visibility for third and fourth quarter, but sometimes what happens, you know, by the time they become nearer, then they may say that sometimes they may say, oh, we need 1 month earlier, or sometimes they may push out to the next month. But with the current indication, what we are getting from the customer, definitely Q3 volumes are higher and Q4 are still further higher.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pujan Shah from Congruence Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My first question would be on the dyes and pigments. So if we look at the specific segment, so how would we, like what you will be out, like how the outlook would be, what could be the parameters, and just wanted to know that view on FY for the FY24 basis.
Yeah, textile is really a surprising situation. No, textile is still not showing any significant increase. It's still, you know, struggling. Time to time, you feel that it is getting very back to normal, but still not happening. And that, but the pigment seems to have, you know, bottomed out.
Okay. And what are the views on the polymers and additives?
Polymers and additives, actually, the corrections have started more happening now. So that might get bottomed out more towards Q3, Q4.
Okay, got it. I just wanted to ask you about the benzene. So if you look at the from the top, what the price would be. So can you just give a certain percentage point how the percentage fall would be from the top to current price?
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. So if you look at the benzene prices, so benzene price is, let's suppose it's 100. And now it's currently, if this price is trading at 90 or 80, so it would be around 10-20% fall from the top, what the price has been made. So what could be the price percentage fall in the from the top to at the current price?
The benzene has not seen 100 rupees. It may be around 90. It has seen
90 to 60
kind of a range which has happened.
Okay, got it. And can you just tell the volume again? I missed it.
Pardon?
Volume split, what you have provided in the initial marks. I have actually missed out that volume.
Yeah, nitrochlorobenzene volume.
So the nitrochlorobenzene volumes were 17,290 metric tons for the quarter, as against last year YOI number of 20,515. The nitro toluene volumes was 9,327 for this quarter versus 5,250 for last year. The hydrogenation volumes were 2,868 versus 3,295 for previous year.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Khetan from Smith's Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. Sir, you had not mentioned the PDA segment volumes.
Yeah, so PDA volume for this quarter is 135 tons per month, whereas last year it was 370
tons. This is the worst affected segment.
I believe so this phenylene diamine segment, so majority of the volumes is for the export market, and because of the external headwinds, so this is one of the reasons why this segment is impacted the most.
Yeah, it's a domestic, it goes in dyes, and export it goes in polymer. So this has been, that's what I was mentioning, that correction in this has started more recently on the polymer side and all. So that's why we see this sharp decline in this product.
And what was the base reason of the nitrotoluene strong volumes in this quarter?
That is going into agrochemical, and those agrochemical were still strong in Q1.
Why that has been impacted in second quarter? You mentioned that, so that has got weakened now?
Now the inventory correction, everybody has calculated the pipeline inventories. Big multinational, then when they come back with their revised supply chain. That's where we are seeing that, you know, now they see that they want to reduce the year-end inventories.
Okay. Sir, into the agrochemical segment, you had stated that so I believe so this figure could be 3 to 4 months back, so when we actually have started. If you can provide the current figure, so how much inventory is left in the pipeline?
So Aditya, we lost you midway. Could you just repeat your question?
But sir, I was asking onto the agrochemical inventory situation. So which sir has stated, so I believe, so 2-3 months back, here, how much inventory has been rationalized?
Yeah, that I think we'll have to talk to ag guy again, you know, that from where we get those, this kind of number. So maybe, you know, we'll be able to get some idea that how much correction already is taken place. But I think most of the correction in next 2-3 quarters, because everybody wants to keep lower inventory at the year-end because of higher inventory carrying cost. So I think all those should settle down by Q3 of this year, as a calendar year-end.
Okay. And sir, just one. Now we had again started witnessing, so crude prices have started to inch up, and they have crossed $85 a barrel. So if suppose, so now the base chemicals prices also would start to go up, so with the lag.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
So could there be a situation so where we so we would not be able to pass on the incremental prices, and we could see for from this level? If
generally we are able to pass on, so there's not much issue there.
Okay. Okay.
Aditya, does that answer your question? You are not audible, sir.
Yes, yes, got it, got it.
All right, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as our last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for taking out the time to join us on our Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. Hope we have addressed all your queries. If you have any further questions, please feel free to contact our investor relations team, and we'll address them. We look forward to connecting with all of you again in the next quarter. Thank you once again.
Thank you. On behalf of Aarti Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.